We are beginning Daf Tes Zayin Omer Aleph, four lines from the top, the Tavayu Alibi de Rabbi Yehuda. In the previous Gemara, we learned the machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish concerning the Malkis for Alab Hanitik La'asei. Rabbi Yochanan's shita is bitloi v'loi bitloi, that if the person is mevatel, if he annuls the mitzvah saseh, then he is mechuyev malchus even for alav hanitik laseh, v'loi bitloi. But if he does not annul the mitzvah saseh, then he is not mechuyev malchus for the alav hanitik laseh. That means that he is only mechuyev malchus for the alav hanitik laseh if he actually does something in a positive way to prevent him from ever again being able to fulfill the mitzvah saseh. That is called the bittul of the mitzvah saseh. If, however, he is still able to fulfill the mitzvah saseh, or even if he is already unable to fulfill the mitzvah saseh, but it wasn't his doing, it was something which he did not do, which made it impossible for him to fulfill the mitzvah saseh, then we say that he was not actually mevatel, he didn't annul the mitzvah saseh, and therefore he will not be mechuyev malchus for transgressing this law of hanitik la'aseh. So that is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, bitloi v'loi bitloi, and that means that receiving malchus for the law of hanitik la'aseh is conditional upon him actually going ahead and annulling completely the possibility of the kiyum of the mitzvah saseh. Rish Lakish disagrees with this. Rish Lakish's shita is kimoi v'loi kimoi. This means that if kimoi, if he fulfills the mitzvah saseh, then he frees himself from the chiyuv of malchus for the lav hanitik laseh. But v'loi kimoi, if he does not fulfill the mitzvah saseh, then he is mechuyev malchus for the lav, even though it's a lav hanitik laseh. Rashi explains the shita of Rish Lakish that it means that actually, immediately upon transgressing the lav, even though it's a lav hanitik laseh, there is upon him a chiyuv of the punishment of malchus. When he is brought to Bezdin gives him a choice, and they tell him that he is mechuyev to fulfill this mitzvah saseh, in the case of a lav hanitik laseh, and that if he does so, he will free himself from the punishment of malchus. As Rashi said, the fulfilling of the mitzvah saseh is tachas malchus. It takes the place of the malchus, and therefore frees him from the chiyuv of the punishment of malchus. So that choice is given to him, that he should set out immediately fulfilling the mitzvah saseh. If he does not do so immediately, if he does not set out immediately to fulfill the mitzvah saseh, then Bezdin will in fact give him the punishment of malchus, because he is mechuyev the punishment of malchus for transgressing the mitzvah lo yisaseh, even in the case of a lav hanitik laseh. It's only if he fulfills the mitzvah saseh he can free himself from that punishment. So therefore, whether it be that it is already impossible to fulfill the mitzvah saseh, even if he didn't make it impossible, but for whatever reason it's impossible to fulfill the mitzvah saseh, or whether it is even still possible to fulfill the mitzvah saseh, but he doesn't set out doing so immediately, when Bezdin gives him this choice, then he is mechuyev malchus for transgressing the law. So that is a shita of Reish Lakish, of kimoi v'loi kimoi. The Gemara said that this machloikis, whether we say bitloi v'lo bitloi or kimoi v'lo kimoi, depends on another machloikis that we find between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan holds that hasra sofek shmo hasra, that a conditional hasra is also considered to be a hasra, that even when a hasra is given to a person who is going to do an aveira, and it can't be said to him with certainty that if you do this, you will be mechuy of the punishment, whether it be malchus or mises bezdin, but you will be mechuy of the punishment if you go ahead and do something else. So it's a conditional hasra, hasra sofek, still says Rabbi Yochanan, this is considered to be a legitimate hasra. And if he does do this aveira and then goes ahead and does the other thing upon which doing the aveira depends, then he will be mechuyev the punishment in Bezdin. It is considered to be a hasra. Therefore, says the Gemara, and as Rashi explains, he is able to hold bitloi v'loi bitloi. He is able to say that that whether there will be malchus for this lav hanitik laseh depends on whether he will go ahead and transgress and annul the mitzvah saseh as well, even though that, by definition, is hasra sofek. Because at the time that they give him hasra, when he's about to transgress the lav, they can't tell him that you will definitely be mechuyev malchus if you transgress the lav. They can only tell him that if you transgress the lav and later you will be mevatel l'aseh, you will be mechuyev malchus. Still, we say that if he does do so, if he transgresses the lav and later he is mevatel l'aseh, bitloi, that then he is mechuyev malchus. This can only be if we hold that hasra sofek shmo hasra, which is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish holds that hasra sofek loy shmo hasra. Reish Lakish holds that a hasra which is conditional doesn't have a halacha of hasra, and that even there, even later on, if the condition is fulfilled, he will not be mechuyev malchus because the hasra is not considered to be a hasra. Therefore, Reish Lakish can't hold bitloi v'loi bitloi. He can't say that the malchus for a lav hanitik laseh depends and is conditional upon him later transgressing the mitzvah saseh, because that would always be a hasra sofek. Rather, he has to learn that if there is malchus for a lav hanitik laseh, as we will see, it's a mishnah that there is sometimes malchus for a lav hanitik laseh if one does not fulfill the mitzvah saseh. He has to learn that it depends on kimoi v'loi kimoi, which is Rashi explains, means that there is an immediately a shiyuv malchus upon him for transgressing the loy saseh. Therefore, it's not considered to be hasra sofik. It's only that he can free himself from the chiyuv by fulfilling the mitzvah saseh. This is not called hasra sofik because the lav is definitely mechayev him the punishment of malchus. Therefore, Reish Lakish, according to his shita of Hasra Sofik Loishma Hasra, can't learn Bitloy Vila Bitloy, and he has to learn Kimoy Vila Kimoy. So Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are following in this machloikas of Bitloy Vila Bitloy, as opposed to Kimoy Vila Kimoy, their own shita concerning Hasra Sofik, Shmo Hasra or not. Where do we find this machloikas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So the Gemara brings a machloikas between them concerning a case of a person who made a shvua that he would eat a certain kikar, a certain loaf of bread, on that day. And the day went by, and he didn't eat it. He didn't fulfill his shvua. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree that he is not mechuyev malchus. However, each one gives a different reason. Rabbi Yochanan says that the reason why he's not mechuyev malchus is because it's a lav she'en by ma'itzah, because he transgressed this lav of not fulfilling his shvua without doing an actual ma'itzah, without doing something positive. He merely did not eat. It's a shev yal kasa. He did not eat, and that's how he transgressed his shvua, and therefore there is no chiyuv of malchus. A lav she'en by ma'itzah ain loikin olav. However, the fact that this is Hasra Sofek didn't bother Rabbi Yochanan. The fact that at any time when he's warned that if you don't eat the kikar, that you will be Mechuyev Malkus, he can always say, well, maybe I'll eat the kikar later on. And it'll only become clear at the end of the day, if the day went by and he didn't eat the kikar, that he is in fact Mechuyev, that he did in fact transgress this lav, this doesn't bother Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan's shita is that Hasra Sofek, Shmo Hasra. Reish Lakish says that the reason why there is no Malkus is because of this very reason. Because Hasra Sofek, Lo Shmo Hasra, the Hasra given to him at any time is not considered to be a hasra because he always has the possibility of eating the kikar later on in the day, at the end of the day. And therefore, it can't be considered a hasra, and that's why there is no chiyuv malchus. So Reish Lakish holds that hasra sofik lo yishma hasra. On the other hand, we see also that Reish Lakish holds that there is malchus for a lav she'en by ma'isa, because he didn't say that that's the reason why the person does not receive malchus in this case of not eating the kikar. Rather, the reason is because it's hasra sofik. And we'll see the Gemara discusses both of these shitas over Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So on the one hand, Rabbi Yochanan holds that hasra sofik shmo hasra, as the Gemara said before, and he holds lav she'en b'maisa ein loikin olav. On the other hand, Reish Lakish holds that lav she'en b'maisa loikin olav, however hasra sofik loy shmo hasra. And now the Gemara discusses what is the source for their machloik. Says the Gemara, v'tarvayu aliva de Rabbi Yehuda. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are stating their shitas concerning Hasra Sofek and Lav She'en by Ma'isa according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, as we learned in a brisa, V'loy sasiru mimenu ad boiker, V'hanoyser mimenu ad boiker v'goymer. This is the mitzvah loy saseh in the Torah about leaving over kachim until the morning. Speaking about the Korban Pesach, it goes for all kachim, not to leave over kachim uneaten until the morning and allowing it to become noiser. And the Torah says, V'hanoyser mimenu ad boiker, that which is left over until the morning, but eish destroy, whether you should burn it in fire. So this is a mitzvah at say to burn it if it does become noiser. Bo hakosuv liten asay achar lois aseh. The pasuk is coming to apply to give a mitzvah asay after the transgression of the lois aseh of leaving it and letting it become noiser. Loimar to tell us shein loikin olaf divir Rabbi Yehuda, to tell us that there is no malchus for this lot. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the Torah gave a mitzvah asay of Anoisi Mimenu Ad Boika Be'esh Tisraifu, and is thereby telling us that one will not be Mechuyev Malkus for transgressing the slav of leaving over the Noiser until the morning, because it is a lav Hanitik La'aseh. We see from the words of Rabbi Yehuda that if not for the fact that there is a mitzvah saseh for him to fulfill after he transgresses the mitzvah loy saseh, that there would be malchus for leaving this meat overnight and letting it become noiser. The reason why there is no malchus is because it's a law of hanitik laaseh. Now, in fact, there are another two possible reasons why there should not be any malchus for transgressing this law of letting the basar kochim become noiser. One is because it's a hasra sofek. At any time when he is warned, don't leave over the meat, because if you let it over till the morning and it becomes noiser, you will be mechuyev malchus. We can always say that perhaps later on he will consume the meat and not leave it over until the morning. So any hasra given is always a hasra sofek, just as the Gemara said concerning a person who makes a shvua to eat something on that day, that the hasra is hasra sofek because it can always be eaten later on. So the hasra for leaving over noiser is also hasra sofek. And there is another reason why there should be no malchus concerning this lav, and that is because it's a lav she'en by ma'isa. Leaving over noiser is not an action, it's not a positive action, rather it's just leaving it, not doing anything, and allowing it to become noiser. So there are another two possibilities of why there should not be any malchus for this lav. And yet we see that Rabbi Yehuda said the reason why there is no malchus is because it's a lav hanitik laaseh. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan dayak kochi. Rabbi Yochanan is medayak, learns from the words of Rabbi Yehuda in the following way. Time of the ba'akosuk, that the reason why there is no malchus is because the pasuk came and gave a mitzvah saseh and made it into a lav hanitik laaseh. If the Torah had not made it into a lav anitiklase, like, then there would be a chiyuv malchus for transgressing this lav of leaving over the basar and allowing it to become nicer. Alma, we see from this that hasra safik shma hasra. We see that the shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that hasra safik is considered to be a hasra, because if hasra safik lav shma hasra, then in any case there wouldn't be any malchus for transgressing this lav of nicer. Why do Rabbi Yehuda have to say that the reason why there's no malchus is because it's a lav anitiklase? So that's the deal over Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that hasra sofik shmo hasra. So as far as that is concerned, there would be a chiyuv of malchus. It is considered to be a hasra because they can warn him that if you leave it over now, and if you won't eat it later on, and it'll end up being left until the morning, that you will be transgressing the law, and you'll be mechuyev malchus, and this would be considered to be a legitimate hasra. Says Rabbi Yehuda, the reason why there's no malchus is because it's a law and it's a klasei. Reish Lakish is Mitaik in the following way. Time of the Bo HaKosuf, that the reason why there is no Malkus is because the Posu came and gave a mitzvah saseh and made it into a lav and it's a klase. Holoi Bo HaKosuf, had the Torah not made it into a lav and it's a klase, loika, then there would be Malkus. Almalav Shehem Boi Maisa loika nolo. We can see from these words of Rabbi Yehuda that there is Malkus when a person transgresses a lav Shehem Boi Maisa, because this lav of Noiser is a lav Shehem Boi Maisa, he merely leaves it over until the morning. So he is Madaik that we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds a lav she'en by ma'isa loik and olive, because Rabbi Yehuda says that the reason why there is no malchus is because it's a lav anitiklase. So the Gemara asks, how can each one hold only one of these sheetas? Certainly we see from the words of Rabbi Yehuda that he holds both hasra sofik shmo hasra, and that he holds lav she'en by ma'isa loik and olive. Because in fact, in the case of Noiser, both of these two reasons do come together. And still he says that the reason why there is no malchus is because it's a lav anitiklase. So the Gemara asks, Reb Shimon ben Lakish nami, ha vade hasra sofiku. Reb Shimon ben Lakish, who says that we learn from the words of Rabbi Yehuda that he holds that a lav she'en bo ma'isa lo yiken olav. Certainly this is also a case of hasra safek, and still we see from the words of Rabbi Yehuda that the reason why there's no malchus is only because it's a lav anitiklase. So how come Reish Lakish say that we'll only learn from this that Rabbi Yehuda holds that on a lav she'en bo ma'isa there is malchus? He should be forced to learn from this also that there is malchus for hasra safek, that hasra safek shma hasra, and of course that's not the shita of Reish Lakish. Says the Gemara, enochinami. From this price, we would perhaps be able to learn that that is a shita of Rabbi Yehuda. However, Sovelaki Idach Tana de Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like a different Tana who reported the words of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, as we learned in a price, he kozev v'chozev v'hikozev. If a person hit this one and then went ahead and hit the other one. Now, as Rashi explains, this is speaking about a case of a person who does not know who of two people is his father. Speaking about a case where his mother was divorced from her first husband and she remarried shortly afterwards without waiting the period of time that she is supposed to wait, and this child, this person, was born later on, and it is impossible to know whether in fact he is a premature baby of this second husband or whether he's a full-term baby of the first husband. So he does not know who his father is. He doesn't know whether it's this woman's first husband or her second husband. So he's in a situation where we don't know who is his father. Now we know that there is a halach in the Torah that a person who hits his father, who inflicts a wound upon his father, is mechuyev misa. Also a person who curses his father is mechuyev misa. Now of course this person who does not know who his father is, if he would hit or curse one of these two men, would not be mechuyev misa, because it would be a suffix whether in fact he hit or cursed his father. We don't know whether this is really his father or the other man is his father. However, says the Braisa, he kozev v'chozev v'hikozev. If he hit one of them and then he turned around and he hit the other one as well, so he definitely hit his father. Kilozev v'chozev v'kilozev. Or if he cursed one of them and then he went around and cursed the other one, so he definitely did curse his real father. Or he kashneim bavasachas, or kill shneim bavasachas, or he hit both of them at the same time, or he cursed both of them at the same time. Chayav. The Tanakhama says that he is chayav in any of these cases, because since mimonav shach, he definitely hit or cursed his father, his real father, he is mechuyev misa. Rabbi Yehuda says bavasachas chayav. If he does it at the same time, if he hits both of them at the same time, or he curses both of them at the same time, then he is mechuyev, because mimonav shach, he has inflicted hakah or klala towards his real father, and this is not a hasra sopik, because they are telling him that if you do what you are doing right now, you will definitely be mechuyev misa, and he went ahead and he did so. He definitely did this aveira, which is mechayev misa. However, b'zachar zeh poter. If he did one after the other, then he is poter. If he first hit one and then he hit the other one, or first he cursed one and then he cursed the other one, then he is poter, in spite of the fact there was a hasra, that if he does so, that if he hits this one, that he will be mechuyev misa. If he goes ahead and hits the other one, because between the two of them, that he is definitely hitting his father, still he is poter, because of the shita of hasra sofek lo yishma hasra. This is hasra sofek. They can warn him that if he hits this one, he will be mechuyev Misa, if he will then hit the second one and make it into a Mimonashach, that he definitely hit his father. But they can't say that merely by hitting this one that he will definitely be Mukhuyev Misa. So it's Asra Sofik, and that's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda in this Brisa, that Asra Sofik Voishma Asra. So Reish Lakish, who says, although he learns from the previous Brisa that the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that Alav She'em B'maisa Loikin Olav, he follows the opinion of this Brisa, which reports Rabbi Yehuda Shita as being that Asra Sofik Loishma Hasra. For Rabbi Yochanan Nami, now the Gemara discusses Rabbi Yochanan as well, who learned from the Brisa of Rabbi Yehuda concerning Noisa, that Hasra Sofek Shmo Hasra, Ho Bali Lav She'em Bo Maisa, it's definitely also Lav She'em Bo Maisa, the Lav of Noisa. So apparently, if you're able to learn Hasra Sofek Shmo Hasra, you have to be able to learn also that there is Malkus for a Lav She'em Bo Maisa. And Rabbi Yochanan's Shita is that there is no Malkus for Lav She'em Bo Maisa, and we're saying that he's following the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara here too, Sovala, Kihoda Omar Rav Idi Bar Oven, Omar Rav Amram, Omar Rav Yitzchok, Omar Rav Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yosi Haglit. He holds like this member which was said, in fact it was said in his own name, that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Yosi Haglili, Kol Loisase Shebetoira, any Loisase, any Mitzvah Loisase, any Lav in the Torah, Lav Sheyesh B'Maisa Loikin Olav. If it's a Lav which is transgressed by doing something in a positive way, there is a Chiyuv Malkus for transgressing this Lav. Lav She'ein B'Maisa Ein Loikin Olav. A Lav which is not transgressed by actually doing an action, by doing a true action, there is no chiyuv malchus for that lav. Chutz min hanishba, except for the person who swears falsely, even though swearing is not considered to be an action, it's merely words, nonetheless he is mechuyev malchus for transgressing the lav of swearing falsely. Umeimer, and the person who does tmura, who attempts to transfer the kedusha of a korban onto another animal, that's a lav, it's a lav she'en bo maisa. He doesn't really do any physical action, he just says that the kedusha should go over to the other animal, he receives malchus. V'hamakalal es chaveiroi b'shem, and the one who curses his friend, who curses a fellow Jew, b'shem, with the name of Hashem. This too, he is transgressing a lav, and he is mechuyev malchus, even though it's only words, he didn't actually do a physical action. And as Rashi brings, the Gemara in Tmura brings psukim for all of these, why these are exceptions to the rule of lav she'en bo maisa. But Al-Kopana, Rabbi Yochanan learns from this that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is, he says in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that there is no Malkus for a Lav She'en B'Maisa. So says Rabbi Yochanan, he learns from this first Brisa concerning Noiser that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that Hasra Sofek Shmo Hasra. But he doesn't follow that Brisa in that which it says that Lav She'en B'Maisa Loikin Olav, because here he follows this other quote of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, that Lav She'en B'Maisa Ein Loikin Olav. Says the Gemara, Kashya the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. In that case, we have a difficulty, we have a problem from Rabbi Yehuda, a contradiction from Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbi Yehuda, both according to Reish Lakish and according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Reish Lakish, we see from the Brisa concerning Noiser that Rabbi Yehuda holds the Hasra Sofek Shmo Hasra, and in the Brisa of Hikozev, Achozev, Hikozev, we see that he holds Hasra Sofek Loi Shmo Hasra. In Rabbi Yochanan, we also have a contradiction concerning Lav She'en Bo Maisa. In the Brisa concerning Noisa, we see that Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that a Lav She'en Bo Maisa Loikin Olav. And here, Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, says that Lav She'en Bo Maisa, there is no Malkus. Says the Gemara, the Rishim, either Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, if we are going to follow the opinion of Reish Lakish, Trei Tanoia, leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. We'll say that there are two Tanoim according to Rabbi Yehuda. In a Hanami, this is a contradiction, and it's two opinions of two different Tanoim of what Rabbi Yehuda held. Either Rabbi Yochanan Loikashia, if we'll follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, this is also not difficult. Hodi Dei, Hod Rabbe. The first Brisa of Noiser is Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion, and this Brisa, which says that Lav She'en Bo Maisa Ein Loikin Olav, is in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosi Haglili, as it says, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Mishum Rabbi Yosi Haglili, that he said in the name of Rabbi Yosi Haglili. Al Koponim, so the Maskon of the Gemara is then that Rabbi Yochanan chose to learn from the Brisa of Noiser that Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that Hasra Sofek Shmo Hasra, and he learned from that which Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Yosi Aglili that Lav She'en Bo Maisa Ein Loikin Olav, and Reish Lakish learned from the Brisa concerning Noiser that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that Lav She'en Bo Maisa Loikin Olav, and he learned from this other Brisa concerning Hikazeh V'Chozeh Hikazeh that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is concerning Hasra Sofik that Loishma Hasra. Rashi has the Kasha on this Gemara. We see that one of the exceptions to the rule of Lav she'en b'maisa ein loiken olav is chutz min hanishba, that the person who swears falsely receives malchus, even though it is a lav she'en b'maisa. It's so, going back to the original machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, their machloikis was concerning shvua. Their machloikis was concerning a case where a person swore to eat a kikar on that certain day and he didn't do so. Whether the reason why he's potter from malchus is because it's a lav she'en b'maisa, that's what Reish Lakish, that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, or because hasra sofik lo yishma hasra, which is the shita of Reish Lakish. So how can Rabbi Yochanan apply there this idea of lav she'en b'maisa when we see here that nishba, that swearing falsely, is an exception to that rule? And to the contrary, this is the source of Rabbi Yochanan, that the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, at least in the name of Rabbi Yossi Glili, is that there is no malchus for a lav she'en b'maisa. And it says here that except for the nishba, that's the one who swears falsely. Rabbi Yochanan applies this idea of lav she'en b'maisa ein loikan olav to a case of nishba as well. It says Rashi that the Gemara in Tzmura says and learns from Sukkim that there is a difference between these two cases. That which we quote here, Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that nishba is an exception to the rule of lav she'en b'maisa ein loikan olav, is only speaking about a shvua l'sha'avar, a shvua that is made concerning something in the past. The person swears achalti, he swears that he ate something, and it was a lie, it's not true, in fact he didn't eat it. Or he swears lo achalti, and he did eat it. That at that moment he is making a false shvua concerning the past. It is that which is considered to be an exception to the rule of lav she'en b'maisa, as the Gemara Darshan is there from Sukkim, and there is malchus, even though it's a lav she'en b'maisa, because it's only a false shvua, it's not an actual physical action. But concerning a shvua lahaba, a shvua which is made concerning something in the future, when he swears that he will do something, so if he swears that he will not do something and he does it, then he is transgressing the shvua in a positive way through doing an action, it's lav she'en b'maisa. But if he swears that he will do something and he does not do it, there the lav is a lav she'en b'maisa, and there is no chiyuv malchus for transgressing the lav of shvua in that way. The exception of chutz min hanishba is only speaking about a shvua l'sha'over, a shvua which was made concerning something in the past, but not a concerning a shvua which is made about something in the future. That's what the Gemara says in Tmura and in Shvuas, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan was able to say that there is no malchus for this person who did not fulfill his shvua of lahaba, and he did not eat the kikar which he made a shvua that he would eat, because it is a lav she'en b'maisa. Now the Gemara goes back to this inyan of kimoi v'loi kimoi, or bitloi v'loi bitloi. It's non-hosom. We learned over there in the Mishnah in Chulin in Perek Shiluach HaKen. The Ritva points out, even though in fact this is the very next Mishnah in our Perek, nonetheless the Gemara refers to this as non-hosom. We learned elsewhere in a different Masechta, because the main Mishnah, so to speak, the Iker, is over there, and here it's only brought down Derech Agav. The main thing is in the Perek Shiluach HaKen, which discusses these halachas. Akoponim non-hosom, we learned over there, Hanoitel Eim Alabonim, if someone transgressed the Isser that the Torah says, if a person finds a kansip, or he finds a nest of a bird sitting upon its eggs or upon the young birds, that he is not allowed to take the mother together with the young birds or eggs, nor is he allowed to take the eggs or the young birds away from the mother. Rather, he has to send away the mother first and only then take the eggs or the afroichim, the young birds. If he transgressed this iser, and he was noitel eim halabonim, he took the mother with her children, together with these chicks or the eggs, Rabbi Yehuda oimer loike, ve'ena mishalech. Rabbi Yehuda says that this person is mechuyev malchus for transgressing the slav of l'sikach eim halabonim, and he is no longer mechuyev to send away the mother. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that although in the pasuk it says l'sikach eim halabonim, shalech t'shalach esoeim v'sabonim tikach loch, after saying the lav, it then says shalech t'shalach esoeim, send away the mother and take the bonim. This doesn't mean that after you have transgressed the lav that you are to fulfill the mitzvah saseh. Rather, the understanding of the pasuk is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, don't take ha'eim al abonim. Rather, shalech t'shalach esoeim. Rather, you should send away the mother before you take the bonim. So this is referring to sending away the mother before taking the bonim, not once you've already transgressed the lav and taken them both. Therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, that once he transgressed the lav and he took the eim al abonim, eino mishalech. There is no longer upon him the mitzvah asay to send away the mother. The pasuk is only saying that this should have been done before he took the bonim, and therefore it's not a lav hanitik lasay, and there is a chiyuv of malchus. There's some difficulty with the words of Rashi. Rashi mentions over here that therefore it's a lav shekodnoy asay. It's a lav which is preceded by a mitzvah asay. If we follow these words in the Gemara before, the Gemara called a lav shekodmei asay an asay which can actually be fulfilled after the lav is transgressed, but nonetheless it's not a lav hanitik lasay because it can also be done before the lav is transgressed. And over there was a machloikas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So as the Ritva and other Mefarshim point out, this is difficult in Rashi. Over there it's a machloikas. This is a Mishnah. How would Reish Lakish learn the Mishnah? And also Rabbi Yehuda says that ainah mishalech. Rabbi Yehuda says that he no longer has to fulfill the mitzvah asay at all. So this is not because it's a lav shekodmei asay Aseh because theoretically he could fulfill the Mitzvah Aseh before transgressing the law, but rather because he learns that the Mitzvah Aseh only applies before transgressing the law and not once he has already transgressed the law. Then there is no longer the Mitzvah Aseh, as he says, Ve'ene Mishaleach, and it's not a law anitik la'aseh at all. So the wording of Rashi is somewhat difficult. Al Koponim, Rabbi Yehuda says, Loike Ve'ene Mishaleach. The Chachamim Oymen, the Chachamim say, Mishaleach Ve'ene Loike. That now he sends away the mother. They learn the Pasik in the order that it is written. First it says, L'sikachem alabonim. Don't take the mother together with the children. And then it says, Shaleach t'shalach esayim v'sabonim tikachloch, that you shall send away the mother. This means that if you transgress the law and you did take the mother with the bonim, that then you should send away the mother. So this is an actual law hanitik la'aseh. Therefore they say, Mishaleach, that he is now to send away the mother v'ein aloike, and he will not receive malchus because this is a law hanitik la'aseh. Zehaklal, the Mishnah continues there, the Chachamim say, this is the rule, kol mitzvah loisaseh sheyesh bukum aseh, any mitzvah loisaseh which is followed by a mitzvah aseh, ein chayoven oleho. One is not mechuyev for transgressing this mitzvah loisaseh, he is not mechuyev malchus, because there is a mitzvah aseh. So this Mishnah states the Shita of the Chachamim as being Mishaleach Ve'ein Aloike. We see from the words of the Chachamim that the fact that he does not receive Malchus will depend on what he does with the Mitzvah Saseh. It says Mishaleach, he should then send away the mother Ve'ein Aloike, and then he will not be Mechuyiv Malchus. But we see from this that it's possible for him not to send away the mother, and there will be a Chiyuv Malchus. Now this will be interpreted differently by Reish Lakish or by Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish will learn this Kipshutai, that Mishaleach Ve'ein Aloike, if he sends her away right away, as soon as he is warned to do so, then he will not be Mechuyev Malchus. But Loikimai, if he doesn't do so, then he will be Mechuyev Malchus. Rabbi Yochanan will learn that it means Mishaleach Ve'en Loike, that he sends it away and he's not Loike, but if he is Mevatel, if he does something which makes it impossible for him to any longer send her away, such as he went ahead and he shechted the mother, he killed the mother, then he will be Mechuyev Malchus. So his not being Mechuyev Malchus depends on the possibility of being Mishaleach, but it only means to say that if he is Mevatel, if he does something to annul the possibility, take away the possibility of doing the Mitzvah Saseh, and he actually goes ahead and does that, such as shechting the mother, then he will be Mechuyev Malchus for transgressing the Sloy Saseh. So that's how Rabbi Yochanan will interpret that which it says over here, Mishaleach Ve'en Aloike. Now the Mishnah then says, the Chachamim then continue and say that this is a rule concerning all mitzvahs loisaseh sheish bakum aseh, that one is not chayev malchus for this mitzvah loisaseh. Now b'pshutei this would mean that we can apply this same idea to all other lavin hanitik laaseh, that there is no malchus for a lav hanitik laaseh unless he is mevatel the mitzvah saseh. Now Rabbi Yochanan is coming to say that this is not so. Theoretically, that rule would apply. And the Mishnah, by saying Zeha Klal, is telling us that the rule is that there is no Malchus for a Lav Anitik Laseh. But this which we say, that it depends on what he does later, because if he goes ahead and he's Mevatel the Mitzvah Saseh, he makes it impossible for him to ever again send away the M, send away the mother, this cannot be applied to all mitzvahs Loisaseh Anitik Laseh. This is an exceptional case, because in other cases, there is no possibility of him annulling the Mitzvah Saseh in such a way, as the Gemara will explain, which would be considered to be Bittul, and which will then tell us that there will be a Chiyuv Malchus for the Mitzvah Loisaseh. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Onu Ein Lanu, we only have Ela Zois V'Oid Acheres, only this case of Shiluach HaKen, and one other case, where there is a possibility that the person will receive Malchus for a Lav Anitik Laseh, by being Mevatel the Mitzvah Saseh. Although this rule theoretically could apply to all Lav Anitik Laseh, we only have it in two cases, in the case of Shiluach HaKen and in one other case. This case of Shiluach HaKen is simple, because if he does something to the M which makes it impossible for him to ever again send her away, such as he shechted her or killed her, then he is considered to have been Mevatel the Aseh, and he will be Mechuyev Malchus for transgressing the Lois Aseh. And now the Gemara will discuss what is the other case that Rabbi Yochanan is referring to. Amalei Rabbi Elazar, hey, Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Yochanan, where is this other case? Other case where it is possible to apply this halacha of Bitle, that it's possible to say that if he annuls the mitzvah saseh, that there is a chiyuv of malchus for the lois saseh. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan told him, l'chi tishkach, go ahead and find it yourself. Nosak dok v'ashkach, he went out, he was medayik v'ashkach, and he found another case. The Tanya, as we learned in a brisa. This is a brisa that the Gemara brought before in the previous da. Oines shigirish, an oines who has a mitzvah saseh of loisi le'isha, that he has to marry this woman who he was ma'anet, and he is not allowed to divorce her. There's a mitzvah loisaseh of v'yuchel shalcha kol yomav. So an oines shigirish, an oines who transgressed this loisaseh and did divorce this woman, im Yisrael, who if he is a Yisroel who's allowed to marry a Grusha, Machzer, and he takes her back. He remarries her, and he is not Mechuyev Malk, as the Gemara said before. This is considered to be a Lav Hanitik Laaseh. V'im Kohen, however, if he's a Kohen, he's not allowed to marry a Grusha, Loike, Ve'enoi Machzer. Then he is Mechuyev Malk, for transgressing the Lav, and he doesn't remarry her because he's not allowed to do so. So for him, it's not a Lav Hanitik Laaseh, and he is Mechuyev Malk. Sakopanim, it says concerning the Yisroel, Machzer, Ve'enoi Loike, that he remarries her, he fulfills the mitzvah Laaseh, which is incumbent upon him, and he is not Mechuyev Malkus for the Lois Aseh. It would appear from this that the not being Mechuyev Malkus for the Lois Aseh depends on what he does later on. But if he does something to be Mevatel this Mitzvah Aseh to remarry her, then he will be Mechuyev Malkus. So this Rabbi Lozer found as another case, another Brisa, which seems to tell us that it can be applied, this Halach of Bitla can be applied to transgressing this Lav of Oynes Shigirish. Says the Gemara, Honi Chalamandatani Kimoy Veloy Kimoy. This is only good according to the Mandi Omar who says Kimoy Veloy Kimoy, according to Reish Lakish, who says that a person is Mechuyev Malkus for a Lav Hanitik Laaseh as long as he does not fulfill the Mitzvah Saseh. Then we can learn in this Brisa that Machzer Ve'en Aloika, but if he's not Machzer, if he doesn't fulfill the Mitzvah Saseh which is incumbent upon him, then he is Mechuyev Malkus. But according to the Mando Omar, who learns Bitloy Veloy Bitloy, that there's only a Chiyuv Malkus for a Lav Hanitik Laaseh, if he is Mevatel the Aseh, if he actually does something to make it impossible for him ever again to fulfill the Mitzvah Aseh, and that is the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, and that which we are discussing is only according to this Shita, that we're trying to find another possibility, another application of this halacha of Bitloy. So Bishloy Megabi Shiluach HaKan Mishkachaslo, Bishloy concerning Shiluach HaKan, we do have this, we can find this case. Because it's simple to apply this halacha that if he killed the mother, if he killed or shechted the mother, then we say that he has annulled the mitzvah saseh and made it impossible for him ever again to fulfill the mitzvah saseh of shalach to shalach esoim. Elo oynes, but in the case of oynes, which we're suggesting is the oyd acheres, which is the other case which Rabbi Yochanan was referring to, bitloy v'loy bitloy heichem ishkachaslo. How can there be a fulfillment of this halacha of bitloy v'loy bitloy? How can we have a case where he is mevatel the mitzvah saseh in a way that he can no longer fulfill it, so that we should say that then he will be mechuyev malkus for the lav? If he killed her, he divorced this woman, and there is a mitzvah to say incumbent upon him to remarry her, and he killed her, and thereby made it impossible for him to remarry her ever again, then there's a din of komlei b'derabimine. This halacha tells us that a person is not mechuyev misa and malkus at the same time, and therefore here as well, it will say that this is considered to be his bittul of the aseh, and that at that point he becomes mechuyev malkus for transgressing the lois aseh. This can't be the reason that he should be mechuyev malkus, because at that point he becomes Mechuyev Misa for killing her. So there's a halacha of Kamli B'Drabimine, that a person stands only in the Rabimine, only in the greater of the two punishments, only in the Chiyuv of Misa, not in the Chiyuv of Malkus. So since at this moment when he kills her, he becomes Mechuyev Misa, we can't use this as the Mechayev for him to be Mechuyev Malkus for the Lav. Even though one could ask, as the Ritva does, that the Chiyuv of Malkus is not for transgressing the Mitzvah Saseh. It's only conditional that when he transgresses the Mitzvah Saseh, he becomes Mechuyev Malkus for transgressing the Lav. So how do we apply the halacha of Kamla B'drabimine? Kamla B'drabimine, we say, should apply to a case where the same action can't be Mechayev in both Mitzvah and Malkus. But here it's not the Mitzvah Saseh, being Mevatel the Mitzvah Saseh, for which there is a Chiyuv of Malkus. There is a Chiyuv of Misa because he's killing her, but the Chiyuv of Malkus is actually for transgressing the Lois Saseh. Nonetheless, in our Gemara, we see, as explained by Arichas in the Sefer Divrei Yechezkel from Rabbi Yechezkel Barnstein, Zichrono Livracha, in Simen Chof Vav, that it, annulling the mitzvah asay, being mevatel the asay, is a necessary condition for him becoming mechuyev malkus. Even though the malkus is actually for the lav, we can still apply the halacha of komlei b'drabimine, that if he becomes mechuyev misa for this action, then it cannot be considered that he fulfilled this condition which will bring him to a chiyuv malkus ayin shum. Al kapanu, that's what the Gemara is saying. That if we'll say that the bitl asay was done by him killing her, there would be a halacha of komlei b'drabimine, and this can't be mechayev him malkus. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Shimi Michuzno said, Kogoyin Shekibu Lo Kiddusha Miachar. We have a different hechitim, a different case of his being mevatel the mitzvah saseh to remarry her, and that is that he acted as a shliach to accept for her kiddushin from someone else. Once he receives kiddushin for her from someone else, if she's married to someone else, he can never remarry her. Even if that second person divorces her or dies, there's an issur of master grushasa, he won't be able to remarry her once she was married to someone else, and therefore he is thereby annulling and taking away the possibility of ever fulfilling this mitzvah saseh again. Omer Rav, or the Gerson on the side says, Omer Rava, Isha Vite Shliach, Ihi Komavaslele. What is the case that you're speaking about that he received Kedushin for her from someone else? If she made him into a Shliach to receive the Kedushin for her, then Ihi Komavaslele. It is she who is actually being Mavatalvit, who's taking away the possibility of him remarrying her, and not him, as the Ritzvah explains. Even though he's instrumental, he's acting as a Shliach, but nonetheless, she is really the one who's doing it. He's just acting as her Shliach. She's really the one who is accepting the Kedushin and marrying someone else, so that wouldn't be called a bitul aseh on his part. If she didn't make him into a shliach to accept kedushin for her from someone else, he did it on his own. Is this within his power to accept kedushin for her from someone else? This is absolutely nothing. The kedushin are naturally nothing if he accepts them for her from someone else without her sending him to do so. It can only be that she sent him. If she sent him, then she's the one who was mevatlet and not him, and this would therefore not be considered to be a bitul of the asay and would not be mechayev him malchus. Ella, Omar Rav Shimi ben Hardah, rather Rav Shimi ben Hardah said, "Kegoyin shehidiro berabim," that he made a neder on her in public. He made a neder after he divorced her. He made a neder which would make it impossible for him to marry her again. He made a neder that she should be from then on asura to receive any kind of ano, any kind of benefit from him, or vice versa. And he did this berabim. He did this in public, and therefore it is not possible for him ever to be matir neder. And therefore, by making this neder, he made it impossible for him to be mekayim the mitzvah sasei over again. And this is a bitul of the mitzvah sasei. Says the Gemara, "Hanichal amando Omar neder shehudu berabim ein lehafora." That's only good according to Mando Omar, who says that a neder that was made in public does not have any hafora, that one cannot be matir such a neder. Elo lemando Omar yeshli hafora ma'ikul meimar. But according to Mando Omar, who says that even a neder which is made in public, one can be matir. Then what can we say? Making the neder, even if it's done in public, is not considered to be a bitul haseh, because he can be matir his neder, and then he will be able to remarry her. So that's not a bitul haseh, and that wouldn't be mechayev him malchus for the lot. Says the Gemara, de madira lo al das rabin, that he wasn't madir her only in public, but he was madir her al das rabin, saying that his neder should be dependent upon the will of the public. He's making it al das rabin. He's not making a neder which only depends on him. He's making a neder al das rabin, dependent on the public will. The Omer Amemer, the Amemer said, Hilchasa, neder shehudu barabim yeshle hafar, a neder which was made in public, but it's an ordinary neder. There is a halach of hafar. One can be master such a neder. Al das rabim, enle hafar, but a neder which was made al das rabim, there is no hataras nadorim for such a neder, because since he made his neder al das rabim, dependent on the will of the public, he can't go ahead and be master it, because he made it al das rabim. He made it with the dependent on the will of the entire public, and therefore he's going to the chacham and saying that he has harasa, or that he finds a reason, a petach, why he wouldn't have made the nether, is ineffective in being master of the nether, because he made it al das rabim. He made it dependent upon the will of all of the people. Therefore, he can't be master such a nether. So here we have a hechitimsa. If he made such a nether, he made this nether al das rabim, this is a nether which doesn't have any haktara. There is no possibility of him ever being able to be master this nether, and therefore he will never be able to marry her, and that is considered to be a bitul aseh, and that is the oid acheres which Rabbi Yochanan was referring to in saying that there is one other application of this halacha of bitloi v'loi bitloi. The Gemara asks the Suleka, are there no other applications of this halacha of bitloi? Are there no other cases where we can say that a person becomes mechuyev malchus for a lava nitzik laseh by being mevatel the aseh? The ha'ika, there is a case of gezel. The Rachmana Omer, where the Torah says lo sigzol, there's a lava in the Torah not to steal, and there's a mitzvah saseh of heishiv esagzelot, to return that which he has stolen. There's another case of mashkin, a case where a person takes a mashkin and he is not allowed to do so in the way that he did so. Drachmon Amr, the Torah says, Loi sovei al beisoi lavet avoytoi, that you shall not enter his house to take away his mashkin. The Shliach Bezdin has to go take it away. You're not allowed to go into his house and take it away yourself. If he does so, he transgresses a law. And there's a mitzvah say of Hoshev Toshiv Loi Eshavait Kevoi Hashemesh, that you should return to him this mashkin when the sun goes down. Even though actually this mitzvah applies also to a case where he lawfully takes the mashkin, as Tosfos, according to the explanation of the Maram, say the Gemara darshans this pasuk of Hoshev Toshev Lei as a specific mitzvah saseh for the person who has transgressed this iser and taken the mashkin in an unlawful manner. So it is considered to be a lav anitik lasei, because we darshan that there's a specific asay for someone who has transgressed the law. Al kaponim, the Gemara is asking that we have here two cases of lav anitik lasei umishkachas lo bekimoi v'loi kimoi, and we can find a case of kimoi v'loy kimoi, where that if he fulfills the assay, he is potter from malchus, and if he doesn't, he is mechuyiv malchus, u bitloy v'loy bitloy. And apparently there should also be a case of bitloy v'loy bitloy, that if he does not transgress the mitzvah assay, he is not chayiv malchus, but if he transgresses it, if he is mevatelit by actually destroying the gzeil, or destroying the mashkin which he has taken unlawfully, that then we'll say that he should be mechuyiv malchus. This apparently is a case where we can apply bitloy. He can do something to the gzeil or to the mashkin, he can destroy it, he can burn it, and make it impossible for it to be returned again, and that should be considered a bitul asay, and in such a case it should be mechuyiv malchus for transgressing the loy sase of either loy sigzol or of loy sovoy obesoy lavoit avoitoy. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say that there's only zois voidaches, that there's only two cases of an application of this halacha of bitloy v'loy bitloy? Says the Gemara, that's not a case where he would become mechuyiv malchus by being mevatel the asay, by destroying the gzela or the mashkin. Hosam over there, in such a case, kiven d'chayev b'tashlumit, since he is responsible to pay for that which he has destroyed, ein loike u'mishalit, he won't become mechuyiv malchus and have to pay as well. Now Tosa says, although the lashon of ein loike u'mishalit would seem to indicate that the Gemara is applying the halacha of shtei rishis, that a person is only mechuyiv one punishment and not two punishments, and therefore since here he has to pay for that which he destroyed, we can't be mechayev him malchus for the loy saseh. Tosa says that this is not the pshat in the Gemara, because to the contrary, Rabbi Yochanan's shita is that in a case where there is both a chiyuv of malchus and a chiyuv of mammon, we say that he receives the punishment of malchus and does not pay the mammon. So why would the Gemara be saying over here to the contrary that since it's tashlumin, he should only have to pay and not be mechuyiv of malchus? Rather, Tosfos says that what the Gemara means to say is that since he is still chayiv tashlumin, that even if he destroys the gzeila or the mashkin, he's chayiv tashlumin, he has to repay it, he won't be loike u'mishalim because he won't be mechuyiv malchus, because this is not considered to be a bittul of the mitzvah saseh. It's true that he made it impossible for himself to actually return the exact item which he took, but nonetheless, since he still has to pay for it, he's mechuyiv b'tashlumin, that takes the place of the item itself, and therefore it's not considered to be that he was actually mevatel the mitzvah saseh, because he will still have to pay for the item. That's not considered to be a case where he was mevatel totally the mitzvah saseh, because he can still somewhat fulfill the mitzvah saseh by paying for the item which he took unlawfully in the case of gzela or in the case of mashka. So that's the place this explains the Gemara. Ayin in the Ritva and the Oruch Haner, that they do bring an alternative pshat in the name of the Ramah, who does learn that ein loiku u'mishalim means that there is a din here of risha achas v'loi shtei rishyos, and they answer the kasha that Tosfos asks on this pshat ayin shom. Maskif lo Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira asked the kasha, hu iko mashkoina shu ger, we have a case of a mashkin of a ger who doesn't have any children, and the person took this mashkin, shaloi kaloch, he went into his house and he took it, and he had been incumbent upon the mitzvah say to return it at the time that he is supposed to do so, and instead he burnt, so he transgressed and he was mevatel the mitzvah say. What are you saying that this is not called a bitul of the aseh? Because he's mechuyiv tashlumin umeis hager. Afterwards, the ger died, and therefore there is no longer any chiyuv tashlumin. The ger died without any children. He doesn't have any yorshim, and there is no chiyuv tashlumin. So here we have a hechtinta that there is no chiyuv tashlumin, and therefore his destroying of the mashkin should be considered a bitul aseh, and he should be mechuyiv malchus. Omid beis says the Gemara, hasam over there, gavra bat tashlumin over there. The person is someone who is responsible to pay. V'shibuta the ger hu de kapaka. It is the shibut to the ger. It's the chiyuv to the ger, the right that the ger has to collect this, which is comes to nothing in his death because he doesn't have any yorshim. And Rashi explains what the Gemara is saying is that there, at the time when he destroyed the mashkin, he was mechuyiv to pay, and therefore at that time he did not become mechuyiv malchus. It's only later on when the ger died that he no longer has a chiyuv to pay, because the ger died, there's no one to collect the chiyuv. Therefore, his destroying of the mashkin still cannot be mechayiv him malchus, and he won't become mechuyiv malchus later on either. So this is not a case of bitlay, since at the time that he destroys it, he becomes mechuyiv v'tashlumin. Even though later the chiyuv tashlumin goes away because the ger died, this is still not considered to be a case where he was mevatelit, and there was no chiyuv malchus at that time, and therefore there won't be a chiyuv malchus now either. So this too is not a case of bitloy v'lo bitloy. We can't apply the halacha of bitloy v'lo bitloy, neither to the case of gzela, nor to the case of mashkin. Continues the Gemara v'ho'iko peya. There's a third possibility. There's a possibility of peya. The Rachmana Omer, the Torah says, loy sechala pa'as v'goyim. The Torah says, loy sechala pa'as v'goyim. You should not finish the corner of your field. V'oni v'lager tazev oysom v'goyim. You have to leave it for the oni or for the ger. And the understanding of the Gemara is that this is a mitzvah loy saseh hanitik la'aseh, that if you did finish off the corner of your field, nonetheless, even though you already took it off your field, you still have to give it to the Ani or to the Ger. You still have to give it to Ani. So here we have a Lav and Itiklas say, U'mishkachas lo b'kimoi v'loi kimoi, b'itloi v'loi b'itloi. It's obviously possible to apply kimoi v'loi kimoi, and apparently it should also be possible to apply b'itloi v'loi b'itloi. Because the Gemara's understanding is that although there's a mitzvah saseh incumbent upon him to give the payah to the Aniyim, even after he transgressed the Lav of finishing off the field, finishing off the harvest of the field, this is only until he actually changes it and grinds the grain. Once he takes the grain and he grinds it, then it has been changed as a shinui ma'isa over here, and then he's no longer mechuyev to give this to the Aniyim. So therefore it's possible that there is a case of bitloy. If he took this and he actually took it ahead and finished all the work on it and made it into flour, then he would no longer be mechuyev to fulfill this mitzvah saseh. So thereby making it into flour is considered to be a bitl, an annulment of the mitzvah saseh. So it's mishkachas lo, not only kimoy v'loy kimoy, but bitloy v'loy bitloy as well. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say that we only have an application of bitloy v'loy bitloy in those two cases? It's not, as we learned in the Mishnah, mitzvah peya lahafrish min hakoma. The mitzvah of peya is to separate it from that which is actually standing grain. In other words, to leave it for the aniyim. Vayhifrish min hakoma. If he didn't separate it from that which is standing, rather he finished all of his harvest, mafrish min ha'omrin. Then he can separate it, he can give it to the aniyim when it is already made into sheaves. Vayhifrish min ha'omrin. If he didn't do that, if he didn't give it to the aniyim when it was in the stage of sheaves, mafrish min hakri. Then he can still separate it and give it to the aniyim even from the pile of grain. Achaloi mireach, until the stage where he did not yet actually thresh the grain and make a finished pile of the threshed grain, that is called miruach, where the threshing has already been done and the chaff has been separated from the kernels and the kernels are made into a pile, that's called miruach. Until that stage he can still give it to the aniyim, and it means he can still give it to the aniyim and there will be no problem of trumas and maestris, because the halacha is that matnas aniyim, including peah, are potter from trumas and maestris. Until that stage, till it comes to miruach, it does not become mechuyev in trumas u'maisris. If he gives it to the aniyim now, it will remain potter from trumas u'maisris. Mirchoy, if he did do miruach, if he actually threshed the grain, separated the chaff from the kernels and made a pile of the kernels, that's the time when it becomes mechuyev in maiser. And since he didn't yet give it to the aniyim, it's still his. It does become mechuyev in maiser. Now that he gives it to the aniyim, it won't become potter. The halacha will be ma'aser v'noisim. That he has to take the maiser, trumas u'maisris first, and then give it to the aniyim, because he has no right to cause a loss to the aniyim by giving them something which they will be then mechuyev to take trumas u'maisris upon. So the halacha of this Mishnah is then the various stages that he is still mechuyev to give the pay. The Mishnah says that once he did miruach and it becomes mechuyev in trumas u'maisris, he has to first take the trumas u'maisris. But the understanding is that beyond this stage, when it's no longer in the form of grain, if he would actually keep it and grind it and make it into flour, then he would no longer be mechuyev to give it to the aniyim. So by making it into flour, this would be a case of an annulment of the mitzvah saseh, and apparently a case where he should be mechuyev malchus for the law which he transgressed originally. Says the Gemara Kidur Rabbi Yishmael, that Rabbi Yochanan is following here the shita of Rabbi Yishmael, the Omar, that he says, af mafrish min ha'isa, that even if he makes it into flour, and then he makes the flour into dough, and then it doesn't make any difference, of course, even if he bakes the dough, at whatever stage he does this, he still has to give it to the aniyim. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, there is never a bitl of the aseh. Even if he takes it and he makes it into flour, or makes it into, and then makes it into dough, there is still, the mitzvah aseh is still incumbent upon him. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said that the only case of bitl aseh is in the zois v'oid acheres, in the case of shiluach haken, and as the Gemara learned in the case of Oinet Shigirish, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, no matter what he does to the grain, he has not been bevatel the mitzvah saseh. He can still fulfill the mitzvah saseh. Says the Gemara, Ulu Rabbi Shmuel, Nami Mishkachas Lo Da'ochel Isa. That's not an answer. According to Rabbi Shmuel, we also have a case of Bitel HaEseh if he actually ate the dough. In other words, if he consumed the Matnas Aniyim, then certainly he has been bevatel the mitzvah saseh and done something which makes it impossible for him ever to fulfill the mitzvah saseh again, whether we hold it Rabbi Shmuel or not. So even according to Rabbi Shmuel, there is a case of being mevatel the mitzvah saseh. So why did Rabbi Yochanan exclude this from being an application of the halacha of bitloy v'loy bitloy? Says the Gemara, Ella, rather, zois v'oid acheres, aha. That which Rabbi Yochanan said, zois, that the case of shiluach haken, and one other case we can apply the halacha of bitloy v'loy bitloy, is aha. It's speaking about this lav of peah. It's speaking about the lab of loisachalapas sorcha, because here we have an implication of bitli. If eventually he consumes the matnas aniyim, he consumes the peah, then certainly he has done something which will prevent him from ever fulfilling the mitzvah sasei again, the mitzvah sasei of la'ani v'lager tazoiv oisam, and he will be mechuyev malchus for the lab. So this is actually the case that Rabbi Yochanan was referring to. Aval oinas loy, to the contrary, that case of oinas shigirish, that's not an application of the din of bitloy v'loy bitloy. But what was the case that we gave before, where it's possible to say that he is mevatel, that he does something which will make it impossible for him to ever again fulfill the mitzvah, to say, to remarry this woman who he divorced, that he made a neder? Al das rabim, says the Gemara, deheicham rinan al das rabim ein lehafora, when do we say that a neder which is made al das rabim, that there is no halacha of hatoras nedorim for such a neder? That's with vahar reshus. That it being matter, the neder would be for something which is reshus, something which is non-mitzvah. Then we say that if it was made al das rabim, that he can't be matterist, because he did it with the intention, with the understanding that it depends upon the will of the rabbi. Aval advar mitzvah, yesh lo hafara. But for a dvar mitzvah, if the atorah sandorim would be made for a mitzvah that he has to be mekayim, then it would have a Torah even if it was made al das rabbim, as the Ritzvah explains, because even though it's made al das rabbim, certainly the rabbim don't want him to be prevented from doing a mitzvah by this neder. They certainly agree that he should do atorah sandorim. So even though the neder is made al das rabbim, he can be matrid if it is for a dvar mitzvah. So here as well, even if he made a neder al das rabim not to remarry her, since he has a mitzvah to do so, he could be matrid this neder. Therefore, it's not a bitl ha'aseh. So to the contrary, we're saying now that the case of bitloy v'loy bitloy can be applied to the halacha of peah, to the lav of peah, but not to the lav of oinah shigirish, because there is no hechetimse of him actually doing something which will prevent him forever from being mekayim the mitzvah ha'aseh, except of course for the case where he kills her, which the Gemara said, there we would apply the halacha of kov leib d'rabim mineh. Says the Gemara, where do we find this, that even a neder which is made al das rabim, that for a dvar mitzvah one can be matter the neder? Ki hodahu mikri dardaki, as we find concerning the case of that melamed tinoikis, mikri dardaki, someone who teaches young children, to have a posha be a nuke, that he was negligent concerning the children. Rashi learns that posha means that he hit them too much. That he hit them too much, and therefore, Adre Rav Acha. Rav Acha fired him and made a nether to the effect that he should never again be able to be a teacher of young children. Adre Rav Acha, he made a nether against him that he should never be able to be a teacher of young children, and he made this nether al das rabim. V'ahadre Ravina, and nonetheless, Ravina took him back and was matter that nether. D'lei shtakach d'dayakava say, because they could not find anyone else who was as meticulous as he, who was as successful in having the children learn properly as he was. So although he was Pasha Bianuki, nonetheless they decided that they had no choice but to take him back. Since this was for a Dvar Mitzvah, they were able to be Matar this nether, even though it was made Al Das Rabim. So therefore in our case as well, even though he makes a nether Al Das Rabim not to remarry her, since this is a Mitzvah, it's a Mitzvah for him to do so, we would say that he could be Matar the nether, and this is not considered to be a Bitl Ho'aseh. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah v'ha'oichal nevelus u'treifes shkotzim b'ramashim v'chuli, that if someone eats nevelus, treifes, or shkotzim b'ramashim, that he is mechuyev malchus. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, Haiman de ochel binisa de bekarva. Someone who eats binisa de bekarva, Rashi says, karva here means kruv, it means cabbage, and binisa de bekarva is a worm which is to be found in cabbage. Malkinon le, we give him the punishment of malchus, mishum sheret ha-shoiretz al ha-oretz, because of the iser of the Torah not to eat a sheret ha-shoiretz al ha-oretz, which it says in Parshas Shmini. Says the Gemara, who the ochel binisa de bekarba, there was someone who ate a binisa de bekarba, the nagde Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda gave him malchus. Tosis asks on this explanation of Rashi that this is pshita, this is self-evident. Of course, if it's a worm which is found in cabbage, that is a sheret ha-shoiretz al ha-oretz. Why shouldn't there be a chiyuv malchus? Rather, says Tosis, that binisa we find throughout Shas refers to a kind of fish. And this is referring to something which has the form of a fish, and it actually has the form of a fish, and it even has scales, it has kaskasin. And would it be living in water, it would be a kosher fish. And Rav Yehuda is telling us that if it's the bekarva, if it's found, Rav Toysa says bekarva means in a machresha, in a plow, that there is a chiyuv malchus for it. Even though this same creature, would it live in water, it would be a kosher fish, it would be permitted to eat it. If it's the binisa de bekarva, if it's found in a machresha, if it lives in a machresha and not in the water, then it is considered to be a sheretz, and there is a chiyuv malchus for sheretz ha-sheretz al ha-oretz. Continues the Gemara, Omer Abaye said, Ochel putisa, if someone eats a water insect, Eretz, which lives in the water, Loika Arba, then he receives Malkus four times. Right. This whole Gemara is telling us how many Lavin a person transgresses each time he eats a small creature, which is referred to as a Sheretz, and how many Lavin apply to each kind of small creature. Now Rashi explains that there are two general Lavin concerning any kind of Shrotim, any kind of small creatures. These two Lavin are in Parsha Shmini in Vayikra Yer Aleph Pasuk Mem Gimel, where the Torah says, Al Teshaksus Nafshei Sechem B'chol Asheret HaShoyret, V'lo Yitzitamu Behem. These are two Lavin, Al Teshaksu and V'lo Yitzitamu, concerning any kind of Sheret. Now what the Gemara is telling us concerning the Tutisa is that for a Sheret Hamayim there are an additional two Lavin in Parsha Shmini concerning those Dogim which one is not allowed to eat, any fish or anything living in the water, and it mentions any there, any Sheret Hamayim, any small creature living in the water, which does not have snapim v'kaskesesh, which doesn't have fins and scales, there is a Lav, Mipsarim Loisachelu, that you're not allowed to eat from them. So that's a Lav for eating a Sheret, which it does not have snapim v'kaskesesh, and this is repeated again in Parsha Re'eh, in Devarim Yud Dalet, V'chol Asherim Loisnapim v'kaskesesh Loisachelu, that you can't eat anything that lives in the water which does not have snapper viscaskes. So this doesn't only refer to large fish, it refers also to the Sheret Samayim, and therefore he's Mechuyiv Malkus four times for eating the Sheret Samayim. Nemola, if he eats an ant, even though an ant is not a kazayas, Rashi says, since it's a barrier, since it's a complete creature, there is a chiv of Malkus for eating it, even though it's not a kazayas, loikachom, she will be Mechuyiv Malkus five times. Mishum Sheret HaShoyret al ha'aretz, because this is a Sheret which creeps on the earth. So in addition to the two general lavin concerning any kind of Sheret, if we look in Parsha Shmini, there are another three times that the Torah says a lot concerning the Sheret HaShoyret al ha'aretz in Sukkah Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, and Mem Dalet. So therefore, there's a total of five Chiyuvim of Malkus. Sira, if a person eats a hornet or a different flying insect, like a sheish, he receives Malkus six times, because it is also considered to be a Sheret HaShoyret al ha'aretz. It also goes on the ground. And in addition to this is Mishum Sheret Ha'oif, because there's a specific lab for a Sheret Ha'oif in Dvarim Yud Dalet. Omar Rabachoy. Rabachoy said that there is another issur that we learn from this pasuk. Oblei seshaksus nafshei sechem. Hamashes nekovav. If someone holds his bowels back, he has to have a bowel movement, and he holds himself back. Oyver mishum leitz shaksu. He too is transgressing the sister of leitz shaksu. Even though the pasuk b'pshuta is speaking about eating shrotzim, we darshan leitz shaksu nafshei sechem. Don't abominate your soul. Don't abominate yourselves. And this is considered to be an abomination. Omar Rabibi Barabai. Rabibi Barabai said, Hayamad deshasi b'karna de umla. Someone who drinks from the horn which is used by the bloodletter, he uses his horn to suck out blood. So it is something very disgusting. And a person who uses it to drink, ka'over mishum leitz shaksu. By doing something so disgusting, he is transgressing the sister of Lois Shaksu as Nafshei Seichem.
Says the Gemara, Omar Rava Barav Huna. Rava Barav Huna said, Risek Tisha Nemolim. If a person crushed nine ants, the Hevi Echot Chai, and he brought a tenth ant, which was alive and whole, that's the Rashi learned Pshat, Vihishlimon Likzayas, and he completed these nine to a Kazayas. In other words, together with this tenth live ant, this tenth complete ant, there was a Kazayas altogether. Lake of Vav, if he eats this, complete Kazayas consisting of nine crushed ants and one whole ant, then he receives Malkus six times. Hey, Mishum Beria, five, because he has eaten this Beria, this complete creature, this Nemola. And as we learned before, a person who eats a Nemola is Mechuyiv Malkus five times. The Echot, Mishum Kazayas Nevela, and one Malkus for eating a Kazayas of Nevela. Any creature which dies, any living thing which dies is considered to be Nevela, and he has eaten a Kazayas of Nevela. Even though Rashi says when he began eating this Nemola, it was alive, so it's not Nevela, but as he swallows it, it dies, and therefore it is Mitzvah for the Kazayas of Nevela as well. So since when he began eating it, it was alive, it's considered to be a berry, and he's Mechuyiv Malkus five times for eating it. Since it dies while he's eating it, it is mitzvah for the Kazayas of Nevela, and he receives this six Malkus for eating a Kazayas of Nevela. Now Tosafot points out that this will only follow the Manda Omer who holds that the Isser of Nevela is chal on things which are essentially non-kosher, on a behemoth tmeya. Here too, this Manda Omer is saying that the Isser of Nevela will be chal, will take place, even though we're dealing with shrotzim, something which is osur in any case. Still there is an Isser of Nevela when it dies. That'll be the shita of this Manda Omer. Tosafot asks the Kasha, we see from this Gemara, the Gemara says that he is Mechuyiv 5 because he ate this barrier, because he ate this whole Nemola. The halach is that a person is Mechuyiv Malkus for eating a Sheretz, not only if he eats the entire Sheretz. If he eats a kazayas of sheretz, whether it be a large sheretz and he eats a part of it, which is a kazayas, or he eats several shrotzim, small shrotzim together, and they're a kazayas, even if they're not whole, then we say that he also receives malchus. He also receives malchus either if he eats a complete berry, even if it's less than a kazayas, or if he eats a kazayas of sheretz, even if it's not a berry. So why does the Gemara say that the reason why he's mechuyev five malchus here is only because there was one live namala, one whole namala as well? If he would crush that tenth namala and the total would be a kazayas, we should also say that he's mechuyev malchus six times, because he's eaten a kazayas of namala, of sheretz, and also he's eaten a kazayas of nevela. And the Gemara stresses, we see from the Gemara, that the only reason why he's mechuyev the six malchus is because this namala was a barrier. That's why he can be mechuyev malchus this many times. So that's what Taisus asks. Why does the Gemara have to say this? So Taisus says, enachinami, that concerning those lavin, we're dealing with five different lavin of a sheretz, concerning those lavin where the lashon of achila is mentioned, of eating, there we say that he receives the malchus if he eats a kazayas, whether it be a barrier or not. But the lavin where it does not use the word achila in the Torah, those lavin concerning sheretz where it does not use the word of achila, there he's only mechuyev when he eats the complete sheretz. And since the Gemara wants to tell us the maximum amount of malchus that he could be mechuyev for eating this namala, that he could be mechuyev six times malchus, that will only be, in fact, because as the Gemara says, that he is eating this barrier, that he's eating the complete namala. Then he will receive malchus five times for the namala and an additional time for nevela, because it's nistarif to the kazayas. Had he crushed this tenth namala as well, even though there would be a malchus both for sheretz and for kazayas nevela, but he wouldn't be mechuyev all of these malchus, because there are lavin of shrotzen where it does not use the word achila, and on those lavin he's only mechuyev malchus if he eats a berry. That's the place that explains the Gemara. The Gemara continues, Rava Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rava said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu Shnayim Vehu, even if he eats two namalim, two crushed namalim with this whole namala, if it equals a kazayas, he's also mechuyev. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Afilu Echad Vehu, even if he eats one crushed namala with this whole namala, if it totals up to a kazayas, he will also be mechuyev. The Gemara says, V'loi Pligi, there's no machloikas between these three, Mandi Omer, as Rashi explains, Havarav Viha Bezutri, that they were speaking about these last two, Rava Omer, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yosef, was speaking about large namalim, whereby crushing two or even one of them, and we add another namala, totals a kazayas, V'loi Bezutri, and the first Mandi Omer, Rava Bar Avuna, was speaking about small namalim, where in order to total up to a kazayas, there has to be 10 of them. So they're just giving different examples and showing us that it is possible that a person can even eat two namalim and that it should total a kazayas. As Taisus says, it is not common for one namala to be a kazayas, and therefore they don't mention that if he eats one namala and that namala is a kazayas, that he will be like a sheish. Taisus says that that would be the din. There's no reason to make a difference between these two cases. The Gemara doesn't mention it because this is not common. Taisus learns slightly differently than Rashi in the Gemara. Taisus says that Rav Omar, Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yosef, who said afilu shnayim vehu afilu echad vehu, they're not arguing because habaravavi habazuch, one is speaking about larger, one is speaking about smaller ones, but the arm being mechadish something as opposed to Rav Bar Avuna. Rav Bar Avuna spoke about crushing nine namalim and adding one because he is speaking about a case where if this tenth namala had been crushed, it would also add up to a kazayas. And there being mechadish, that even in a case where had this additional, this whole namala been crushed, it wouldn't add up to a kazayas, because when it's crushed, its volume is not as great, but nonetheless, if as it is whole, it does add up to the volume of a kazayas, that too is considered to be a full kazayas, and that will be malchus for the kazayas of nevela. So that's right. This, and I believe most of the Rishonim argue with Rashi on a very basic point here. The Gemara said that he brought one namala which was chai, and Rashi learns kipshute, this means that it was alive, and that's why it's a barrier. Taisus learns that chai does not have to be that it was alive. As long as it was whole, even if it was dead, it also is considered to be a barrier, and there will be malchus for eating it. We learned in the Mishnah that a person who eats tevel, something from which trumas u'maisers has not been taken, or maiserishin, from which trumas maiser has not been taken, that he is mechuyev malchus. Omar Rav Rav said, Ochel tevel shemaiser ani, like it, that if a person eats tevel, which is only tevel of maiser ani, everything else has been taken except for the maiser ani, he is also mechuyev malchus. Now the different hafroshes that have to be taken from produce are, first, truma, known as truma gdaila, the truma which has to be taken and given to a koyan, and it is forbidden for a non-koyan to eat truma. Maiserishin, which has to be taken off and given to the levi, and although it is not forbidden for a yisrael to eat maiserishin, but it has in it the truma smicer, which the levi has to take off, a tenth from that tenth that he receives, and give that to the koyan, and that truma smicer is also for anyone but a koyan to eat. And the third hafrasha is, in the years of maiser sheni, it's maiser sheni, that's in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, he has to take off another tenth, which is my Yerushalayim to Shein, he has to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. So it also has a Kedusha, it can't be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. However, on the third and sixth years of the Shemitah cycle, instead of Maaser Sheni, Maaser Oni is taken. The Maaser Oni has to be taken off and given to the Aniyim. But it has no Kedusha, anyone can eat it, but it is only something which has to be given. It's Matnas Aniyim, just as Peah, Lekah, Shikhu, Peah. It has to be given to the Aniyim, but it has no Kedusha. So it's the only one of the Hafroshes which doesn't have in it any kind of special halacha besides that it has to be given to a certain person. It doesn't have any Kedusha at all. So Rav's Chiddush is that even though it only is Tevel for Maaser Oni, we're dealing with produce which grew in the third or sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, and the Truma and the Maaser Ishim were already taken off. All that's left is to take off the Maaser Oni. Still he is Mechuyav Malchus, because this too is considered to be Tevel, even though the Maaser Oni itself won't have any Kedusha once he takes it off, won't have any Isurim upon it, it can be eaten by anyone. Nonetheless, before it's taken off, the produce is considered to be Tevel, and a person who eats it is Mechuyav Malchus. Says the Gemara Kaman, Kihai Tana. Whose Shita is he following? The Shita of the following Tana. The Tani we learned in a Braisa. Omer Rav Yosi, Rav Yosi said, I would think that a person is only mechuyev if he eats tevel from which nothing has been taken off. Nothing, none of the hafroshes that have to be taken has been taken. If truma gedola was already taken off, but ma'aserishin was not yet separated. Or ma'aserishin v'loy ma'aserisheni. Ma'aserishin was taken but not ma'aserisheni. V'afilu ma'aserani. Or even if it was only the ma'aserani which was not taken off. If the truma and the ma'aserishin was taken in a year of Ma'aserani, and the Ma'aserani was not taken off me. Nine. How do we know that that too, that there is a lav there as well, and the person will receive Malchus? Tamalayma, the Torah says, the Torah says, the Pashtus of the Pasuk is speaking about those things, those kinds of kachim which can't be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. You can't eat in your gates the following items, but we are darshaning this word, teaching us something about Tevel. Ulahalanhu Oimer, further on it says, this is a concerning Maaser Oni, that they, the poor people who receive it, should eat it in your gates and should be satisfied. So it uses the same word, Bisharecha. Ma'alahalad Maaser Oni, just as that Pasuk is speaking about Maaser Oni, Afkan Maaser Oni. Then this Pasuk of Leisucha Lecho Bisharecha, by using the word Bisharecha, is making a reference to Maaser Oni. For Omar Achmana Leisucha, and the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat it. Now certainly it doesn't mean you're not allowed to eat the Maaser Oni outside of Yerushalayim. Maaser Oni can be eaten any place. It's not like Maaser Sheni. But it means that you can't eat it while the Maaser Oni is still inside it. You can't eat the produce if the Maaser Oni has not been taken off. So from this we learn that there is a lot to eat the tevel even if it's only the Maaser Oni which has not been taken off. Rav Yosef said kitanoi, that this in fact is a machloikis tanoi. Now this is a machloikis tanoi in concerning the halacha of demai. It's a mishnah in demai. Rashi explains what demai is. Demai is a case where a person buys produce from Anam Ha'aret, and it's a takana midrabanan that he has to be mafresh to various hafroshes except for Truma Gedola. As Rashi explains, this is based on Yochanan Kohen Gadol went through Eretz Yisrael, and he saw that the Ami Ha'aret were not meticulous in taking anything other than Truma Gedola from their produce. Most Ami Ha'aret, as the Gemara mentioned, some places did, but there were many Ami Ha'aret which only took Truma Gedola, did not take the other matanas from their produce. And therefore, he was misakan that whoever buys from Anam Ha'aret, although he does not have to take the Truma Gedola, but he does have to take the other Hafroshes. In the case of Maaser Rishon, since he's only taking it Misafek, and Maaser Rishon can be eaten by a non-Levi, it only is a mitzvah to give it to the Levi, there we say that he takes off the Maaser Rishon and he keeps it for himself. He takes it off, he takes the Trumas Maaser, and the Trumas Maaser he gives to a Kohen because he can't eat the Trumas Maaser. But the remaining Maaser Rishon he keeps for himself since it's Mutar Lazarim. He doesn't have to actually give it to the Levi. Concerning that, we say, Amosim Chaver Olavaraya. How does the Levi know? How do we know that it's really Mechuyev? Maybe it was taken. So he's able to keep it for himself. He only has to take it off. He also has to take off the Maaser Sheni, but Maaser Sheni cannot be eaten outside of Yerushalayim, so even though it's only Tamai, he has to take the Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Now here we have a machloikis concerning Maaser Oni. If it wasn't the year of Maaser Sheni, if it was rather the third or sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, when the additional Maaser after Maaser Rishon is Maaser Oni instead of Maaser Sheni, we have a machloikis. He definitely doesn't have to give it to the Aniyim, just as we said concerning Maaser Rishon that he really doesn't have to give it to the Levi. Here also he definitely doesn't have to give it to the Leviim, but the question is, does he have to designate part of the grain as Maaser Oni and keep it for himself, or he doesn't have to designate it as Maaser Oni at all? Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar says, "Ein tzorich likritzes Hashem or Maaser Oni shel d'mai," that he doesn't have to be Kair Hashem to call a name. That means to designate part of, even without physically separating from the rest of the grain, to designate part of it to say that in the north part of the grain, that tenth should be Maaser Oni. That's called Kriyas Shem. He doesn't have to do that on Maaser Oni shel d'mai. He has to take off Maaser Sheni. But if it's a year of Maaser Ani, he doesn't have to take that from Dmai, as the Gemara will explain. The Chachamim say that Yizayin Kairi Es Hashem Ve'en Nitzorach LaHafrich. He does have to be Kairi Hashem. He has to designate a tenth of this as Maaser Ani. Say that a tenth in the north side, for example, should be Maaser Ani. But Ve'en Nitzorach LaHafrich, he doesn't have to actually physically take it off, because in any case, he's going to keep it. He's not going to give it to the Aniyim, and it's not Osir, and nothing else has to be done with it. It doesn't have to be brought to Yerushalayim. So he just is Kairi Hashem. He designates it wherever it is, and then he can go on eating all of his produce. But Al Kopanim, he does have to be Kairi Hashem. My love, the Hakam Iflagi, Rav Yosef says, is not the following, the Machlaikis, the Ma'as Savar Vadai Toivlai, that Rabbi Lozer holds that in a case of Vadai, the fact that there is Maaser Ani in there, which was not taken off, makes it into Tevel, and therefore in the case of Demai also, it has to be designated, there has to be a Kri Hashem of Maaser Ani, because otherwise it would be considered to be Tevel. So just as he has to be Kairi Hashem for Maaser Rishon, he has to do the same for the Maaser Ani as well. Umar Savar Vadai Einoi Toivlai, and the Chachamim hold that Maaser Ani Vadai does not make the produce into Tevel, and all there is a mitzvah to take it off and give it to the Ani. Here, in any case, it doesn't have to be given to the Ani because it's only Tamai, and therefore it doesn't have to be Kairi Hashem at all. The only reason to be Kairi Hashem would be to take away the Isra of Tevel. They hold that there is no Isra of Tevel merely because of the lack of having taken off the Maaser Ani. Amalei Abaya told him, Ihachi, if so, if that's a machlokes, Adam Mitzvah Gibbis Faker, Litzvah Bubabai, then instead of arguing concerning Sofek Chiv, concerning a case of Demai, they should have argued concerning a case of Tevel Vadai, whether it is Tevel or not, if the Maaser Ani was not taken off, and we don't find such a machlokes. So he's coming to disagree with Rav Yosef's interpretation of this machlokes. It's not based on what they hold concerning Tevel Vadai, because if that were so, we would find a machlokes concerning Tevel Vadai. Ella, rather, the Kuli Alma Vadai Toivu. We can say that everyone, both the Rebbe Lezer and the Chachamim, agree that in the case of Vadai, it does make it into Tevel. The fact that the Maaser Ani was not taken does make it into Tevel. As we learned in our Gemara, that he will be Mukhi of Malchus for eating it, even if it's only the Maaser Ani which was not taken. Over here, it's a different machlaikas between Rebbe Lezer and the Chachamim concerning Demai. Mar Sova, Loi Nechshadu Amei Ha'aretz Al Maaser Ani Shal Demai. The reason why the Chachamim say that he doesn't have to be Kairi Hashem is because they hold that the Amiorot are not suspected concerning the Maaser Ani of Demai. In other words, they're not suspected of not taking Maaser Ani from their produce, even the Mamainahu, since it's only Mammon. If they do take it off, it's only a question of Mammon, that the only reason they have to give it to the Aniyim is because it's their Mammon. It's not because it has any special Kedusha, there's no Isra involved in eating it. Afrushi Mafish, they do take it off, because Rashi explains, they don't mind to take it off, and they don't care about the fact that they really have to give it to Aniyim, and it's his Mammon. They'll keep it and they'll eat it themselves. So they don't lose anything. They don't feel that they lose anything by taking it, by making something Maaser Ani, because they don't care about then keeping the Maaser Ani for themselves. Even though, of course, they're not supposed to do so. By them, it's not Demai. We're speaking about their own produce, which is definitely Tevel, something which grew by them, and they have to take off the HaFroshes from. Nonetheless, we say that what they would do is they would declare something to be Maaser Ani and then keep it for themselves, because they don't care about keeping it for themselves, since there's no actual Isra involved in eating it. Mashenkin Maaser Rishon, we suspect them of not taking off Maaser Rishon at all, because they know that if they take off the Maaser Rishon, they will then have to take Trumas Maaser, and that will be also for them to eat. That will have to be given to the Kohen. So they'd rather not begin at all. They leave it Tevel, they don't take it at all. The same concerning Maaser Sheni. If they take off the Maaser Sheni, they know they have to take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. So they don't bother, they don't take off the Maaser Sheni at all. But Maaser Ani, they will take it off because they don't care about afterwards eating it themselves. The Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold, even the Trichalei Milsa, and nonetheless, since it's a bother for them to declare something to be Maaser Ani, they're not Mafrish the Maaser Ani either. So therefore, we do have to be afraid. We do have to suspect them of not taking the Maaser Ani, and that's why Maaser Ani has to be taken from Demai. So according to this interpretation, everyone agrees with the halacha that we learned before, that if Maaser Ani was not taken, it's considered to be Tevel, and there is Malchus for eating it. The Machlokes here is a specific Machlokes concerning Demai. Do we say that the person who buys from an Amoritz has to declare something Maaser Ani because we suspect the Amoritz of not taking off Maaser Ani, or do we say that we don't suspect them of not taking Maaser Ani, and that's why the person who buys it from him does not have to take Maaser Ani?